All right, here we go. We ready?
I guess.
Every control.
Welcome to M Vibes Podcast,
home of good music,
good libations,
and good vibes.
Welcome to another episode of M Vibes Podcast. What?
We could have done that live with the little four squares.
There we go. Like the Brady Bunch. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Anyways, welcome to another episode of M Vibes Podcast. We are not at our home tonight. We're not at Tommy's. We're doing this from our homes. Our home
actual
sweet
homes.
Yeah. So you're the Star Wars room here.
We don't all live together. Yeah.
Oh. Only on Monday nights or Tuesday nights or Wednesday nights or Thursday nights. Friday nights. Never on Saturdays, though, unless there's a vinyl sale or something.
And yeah. Twice on Sundays.
That's right.
If you're lucky.
Anyways, this is the, you know, hold on. Is anyone drinking at home today? I got some stuff. Oh, what is that? Wine?
Yeah.
Wine? Beer?
Everybody's drinking. It's imbibes. Yes, we all.
I got the Kraken, yeah.
I got a hazy.
Ew.
I got, let's see. All right. I got Dancing Flame, Ojos del Salado 2021 red blend from Central Chile.
That's that Aldi one. I know that bottle.
Fuck yeah.
I had some of that over the weekend.
I stuck up for like less than $100, like tons of decent wine.
Aldi wine is the shit.
Hell yeah.
I never have Amazon wine. It's like their signature brand. It's like cursive. It's the Cabernet Sauvignon, and it's not very good.
Is it like Trader Joe's $2 Chuck?
No, because $2 Chuck is drinkable.
Oh, that's a bold statement.
This is not good.
You know those they sell you or send you those little cards when you do like the box meals and you buy like 18-20 bottles of wine for like $80 or whatever, and like,
yeah,
I had that one time. Half of those were undrinkable. I mean, it was just,
well, yeah, because they're putting them in that box because they're trying to get rid of that garbage.
Yeah,
you know where you can get some decent wine pretty cheap? If you go to Common Market and go to for their like $2 for $10 bin or their $2 for $20 bin. It's actually decent stuff in there. There's pro tip for you.
What are you drinking, Ernie?
I don't know.
Fuck life.
I mean, I don't think you get any cheaper. Stepdad.
that looks like a hazy.
Oh,
it's a
stepdad.
It's quadruple dry hop double India pale ale.
Quadruple dry hop. So they dry hopped it four times.
Yeah, they see there's a little four beside of stepdad. I don't even know who made this. I mean, the label, there's nothing to the label. That's the whole game.
There's no fine print saying the brewery or anything like that.
What's that brewery out of Brooklyn that always made those weird names?
It's the Veil.
Evil Twin.
Oh, is it?
This is the Veil.
Evil Twin, yeah, that's what I was like. All right, that's a Veil.
But
how do you get a Veil can and not know about it?
Say what? What you talking about?
How do you get a can from Veil and not know you have a can from Veil?
Well, like I said, when I go to the bottle shop, I just kind of look at the can art and go, yeah, I'll take that one. I don't even know what's in these things.
I didn't think their stuff was available here yet. I guess it is.
South Carolina.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So on top of the crack, and I'm also drinking some Schramm's Blackheart Mead, which I just killed. It's gone.
I had that with you. That stuff is really good.
It's very good, yeah.
Yeah.
Schramm's makes some solid mead, man, so.
And Ernie's drinking fucking Sunny D over there.
Doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, look out. Yeah.
You know,
it actually tastes
Friday night,
good.
I cracked open. I found a gluten-free sour from Untitled Art. I forget. It was a collaboration, and it was basically orange juice. I mean, it looked and tasted, I mean, it was 5%, but it looked and tasted just like orange juice. I didn't taste beer at all. So whatever. I mean, I still drank it.
That's the important thing.
Waste not, yeah. Want not, right?
What now?
Waste not, want not.
Right. And then I accidentally drank a Gozer. I thought it was a cider. And I'm still paying for that shit. So bad on me.
Yeah, when you dropped that in the group chat, we're like, did he do that on purpose?
No, it was, I once said Total Wine. It was, they had it in the cider section. And on the can, it said made with cinnamon and apples. I'm like, okay, that's cider. Never even dawned on me to like look at it. And that's totally not me at all. I always check cans. You know, I already had a few Friday night, and I went and grabbed it out of the fridge, and I drank it. And then I went to go check it in, and I was like, uh-oh. This is not a cider. Oops.
At least you enjoyed it.
I did. It was very good. Now I know that I can't do that because I've been wanting to test the waters and to see what would happen. Now I know. So, oh, well.
Well, if somebody doesn't know, if like you're new to the podcast, Eric legitimately does have full-blown celiacs, which is why you normally, yes, see him drinking meat or cider or seltzer, where the rest of us are drinking beer. So he's not just like, this isn't like,
I am not a pussy.
it's not like he's like, healthy or something like that.
On a diet. It's just, yes, literally can't. Like, it's just a thing. So
I wish I could so bad. You have no idea. There are days people bring over like Westbrook Mexican cake or Friday night. My friend brought over a German chocolate cake by Angry Chair. It smelled delicious. Oh, I wish, yeah, I could have drank it, but I smelled it and I'm like, damn, that sucks.
I went to Angry Chair 7 years ago. They've been around for a while. Yeah. Down in Tampa. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I love their beer.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I'll say I'm going to Michigan on Monday, and then the following Friday I'll be in Tampa, so I'm going to try and bring back some meat.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. All right, so what are we recording today?
Today is the podcast Christmas episode.
Yeah, for the record, this is the first time we've done like I guess we're not really on Zoom, but so if we're kind of all over the place live, if we're going to be a lot more all over the place doing this shit, because like there's a little delay with everything. So.
Yeah, there's a little lag going on.
Yeah, it's like watching an old Chinese show. It's like, what if I...
Anyway, okay. Yeah, but as Eric said, we're recording our Christmas episode. So we're just going to, talk about a couple of more alternative, kind of off the beaten path Christmas songs, kind of like we did years prior. You know, we just each selected a couple songs and we're going to run through them, kind of talk a little bit about them. And yeah, who's starting? You are, right?
Sorry.
Aren't you starting?
I guess that would be us.
So, back in the 90s, there was a Christmas album. I just had it up on my phone. It's out of print now, but it had a version that you can't find anywhere else but on YouTube of Henry Rollins, the former lead singer of the band we all love and enjoy, Black Flag, doing his recital of Twas the Night Before Christmas. And it's phenomenal. It's not like, doesn't even sound like Christmas. There's bombs going off and tanks in the background and machine guns. I had it up. Here it is. Oh, you son of a bitch. It timed out and it closed on me. Here it is. So, I mean, if you ever see this in like a bargain bin somewhere for like a dollar, here it is. Can you see it?
No.
The glare is too much.
Oh, well. It was called Oh Come Ye Faithful, Rock for Choice. It was like a Christmas song compilation for like Rock the Vote type of things for like a cause. All the money they made all off this went towards a cause. It's got Henry Rollins, Dancehall Crashers, Sponge, Wool, Bush, Orange Tongue, Luscious Jackson, Mike Watt. I mean, it's a pretty good compilation. Face to Face, great band in my opinion. But I'll never forget when I got that. Somebody brought it in, because when I worked at Media Play, we had it on the shelf, and someone brought it in to try and sell it to me. It's like a used CD. And I'm like, dude, $1 is all I can do. The guy's like, come on, man. Give me $2 for it. So I gave him like $1.50. And with my employee discount, I got it for like 50 cents. So I bought it, and I've had it ever since. I can't find it. If you can see this big mess behind me of CDs and vinyl, it's impossible to find things in this room. I've seen him live once at Tremont. During the Black Flag Pond for the West Memphis 3 deal. I've never seen him with Black Flag, so...
Yeah, Keith Morris was there too. That was a great show.
Yes, he showed up like the first two or three songs and then bailed, but yeah. And, you know, there are a lot of people that will know him better as an actor or like a spoken word person versus like the lead singer of Black Flag and all of his other soul stuff that he's done. He's been around forever. I'm a guilty Black Flag, Live, Laugh, and Love, Misfits, and Black Flag tattoo stuff. I don't care, man. I think it's fun.
Yeah, I think most people today, like you said, I mean, most of the tours are spoken word, not really known as a musician. I mean, someone becoming more of a, you know, like this intellectual talking head who just kind of goes into a lot of like shows and just gives out his opinion about politics and society and community. And, very intelligent motherfucker. He's very well read, very well informed.
He had his own talk show for a little while too.
Oh really? I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
It didn't. It only lasted a couple of seasons, but
yeah, he used to have a show on SiriusXM Faction. Back when SiriusXM still had Faction and played punk rock songs, he had his own like hour-long show on there once a week. Him and Marky Ramone, which Marky still has his channel on there still. But, he's gone. I mean, he's just gone. So I wish I was in the room when he recorded this. Just to see him like mouth the words and say it. I'm sure he was so, yeah, the chimney with the care. I'm sure he didn't have a smile on his face while he was reciting this.
Has he ever?
Probably not. Yeah, I was gonna say no, probably not.
yeah, you're right. I've never seen him with a smile on his face.
I saw him smile when he was playing that fucking Nazi in Sons of Anarchy. He smiled there.
Yeah. All I've seen is clips when they bring him in the bathroom and shoot him. So.
Then yeah. That was a brutal ass show, man. That was what was the title of the song, Eric?
"Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Oh, okay. Cool. So who's next?
I guess I'm.
Yeah.
So I chose "Fuck Christmas" by Fear.
Very subtle song. Very, very, very subtle.
You know, so a lot of people really struggle with this time of year. So this is a sentiment that a lot of people share, and I felt like it was kind of appropriate.
That's how I feel this year. Yeah, fuck Christmas. Fuck it.
I mean, I participate in Christmas because my family expects me to, but I don't really have any kind of ties to it personally. So
yeah, I'm the same exact way. I mean, if it weren't for my family, I wouldn't, and my children, obviously, that they expect presents and a Christmas tree and whatever. So yeah, a lot of Christmas traditions. I don't, you know, I'm not like, fuck Christmas. I don't hate it or anything, but like, I certainly don't get excited or look forward. It's just another holiday I'm going to ignore.
Well, I don't know. I'm sitting here saying this in front of a Christmas tree, but I mean, y'all know I'm pagan. This is a Yule tree. So that's what I celebrate. So don't call me out. Just saying. So when I was researching this, I came across that Eric Idle from Monty Python also did a song. And I really encourage y'all to go look this up because it is hilarious. It's way funnier than the Fear song.
Fuck Christmas. It's a waste of fucking time. Fuck Santa. He's just out to get your dime. Fuck Holly. And fuck Ivy, and fuck all that.
This sounds like it belongs in the South Park episode. White
beard,
ringing bells wherever you go, and bloated.
Now I regret not picking Christmas Time in Hell by the South Park guys.
Ho, ho, ho.
It's a great song.
It's fucking Christmas time again. Fuck Christmas. It's a fucking Disney show. Fuck reindeer and all that fucking snow. Fuck carols and fuck Rudolph and his stupid fucking nose. Fucking sleigh bells tinkling.
We should have that the lake goes. Radio station play this
fuck
more often. They said they play everything. They
we
play everything.
Call them and like request it, like bombard them with requests like, all day on Christmas Day.
I'd like to dedicate this one to my sweet mother. So wait, so now I'm confused. Which one did you pick?
My pick was the Fear song, and I found the other one when I was
researching.
Well, I was searching for it because when I first like put it in the Google machine,
the Google Christmas machine,
Eric Idle was the first one that popped up. So I was like, I didn't know this existed. I had to like check it out. Javier.
Yeah.
Mine's
a little weird because even you guys didn't know this was a Christmas song. And I found out just by chance while I was watching a documentary years ago on, I don't even remember what the documentary actually was about, but this sort of came up and it's Players Ball by Outkast. Yeah, most people don't know because obviously it wasn't released as a Christmas song or anything. But let's go ahead and listen to it and then I'll talk a little bit about it.
L dog, nothing but the blacks. All the players, all the hustle.
Oh, you hear the sleigh bells, right?
Yeah.
It's beginning to look a lot like wood. Follow my every step. Take notes on how I crept. I was about to go
that
and
first dip. Album.
This is the way I greet my season. His mic gets to rip. I kept to say the least. No, it can't cease. So I begin to piece my 2 and 2 together. Got some snowy weather. Have to find something to do better. Bet. I said some time, so shut up that. Nonsense about some solid. I got sick crunk if it ain't real, ain't right. I'm like, no matter what the season. Forever chill with Smith. I sent my fifth. I chill with Weston. Got my reason. So tell me, what did you expect? You thought I'd break my neck to help y'all deck the oh no, I got other means of celebrating. I'm getting blizzard at Hojo, I got the hoochie waking. I made it through another year, can't ask for nothing.
The amount of like bar after bar after bar that Andre can fucking stack on top of each other, man. It's one of the best things I've ever heard in my life. It just, he never stops, just goes and goes and goes.
You know, there was one other song that I came across that I didn't realize was a Christmas song. I guess I never got that far along in the album. Run the Jewels, A Christmas Fucking Miracle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. I mean, it starts out with, like, sleigh bells. It's a lot like this song where it starts out Christmas and it goes into, like, a whole other deal, but yeah.
Yeah. So the way this song came about is when they were signed up to LaFace Records, the first thing they were asked to do was to do a Christmas song. The name of the album that we're supposed to be a part of. This was before they made it big, before they even released other playlist and kind of like music. It was a compilation album called LaFace Family Christmas. It was going to have Toni Braxton, TLC, Usher, A Few Good Men, a bunch of other. But they didn't like the idea. They were like, dude, they're going to launch us as this fucking rap group with this corny ass Christmas song. Like, we don't want to do this shit. So instead of doing a traditional Christmas song, very much like what we're doing with the podcast, they say, you know what, let's just do what we do, like just do our own version of a Christmas song, what, like, you know, people like us experience during Christmas. And the Players Ball refers to this annual gathering of pimps that is held throughout the United States in a bunch of different cities, including Atlanta. So that's kind of what the song's about. And that's to them what they said. And this is what the people in our area kind of think of Christmas sometimes. So we didn't know what Christmas was. It wasn't what you most people think Christmas was. So and if you look at some of the lyrics, just you can immediately catch it that that's a Christmas song, you know, with there's a couple of lines saying, God's no snowy weather, have to find something to do better. I said subtract, so shut up that nonsense about some silent night. What is it? Ain't no chimney in the ghetto, so I won't be hanging my socks in no chimney. So it's definitely a Christmas song. It just doesn't get recognized as such.
You know, I finally saw the cover to that compilation too, and yeah, it's like Outkast is on there. You're like, hey, that doesn't really fit that album cover at all. But I think that was their debut, right? That was like their first song that really made it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was before they actually released their album, which is why they were kind of pissy about how are you going to launch us with a Christmas song? Like, what the hell? So that's kind of why they opted in that direction.
You know, I've been listening to that song for years and it never dawned on me. So thanks, man.
You're welcome. What were you going to say, Amanda?
Wasn't there an HBO documentary years back about the Players Ball? Like Ice-T was on there and they were kind of like covering different cities and...
I remember that because I watched that year. I mean, that was
probably 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's probably around the same time that HBO was doing like the Real Sex series.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
The Real Sex.
That used to be something I'd stay up late to watch, man, when I didn't have access to other things.
Oh, yeah. I saw all of the first 16 Real Sex shows, all of them.
So this is from another. Christmas compilation that's out of print. If you find it in a bargain bin, there are a few other ones out there. It's called Punk Rock Xmas. There's a few punk rock Christmas compilations out there. This one was from Rhino Records. It was released in like 95, 96, but it had a song that my wife cannot stand, but I play it every year. The Pansy Division, Homo Christmas. I love this song, man.
This song gives me some serious hate jealousy vibes.
I've seen him live twice. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like it a little bit.
I thought hate jealousy was more of a golf band though, but I kind of hear it though. I've seen them twice. They opened for Green Day in Detroit. They almost got booed off the stage. They came out on stage with like cock and balls on their shirt. No one knew who the fuck they were. This was in the early 90s, man. And then I saw them again at Tremont, probably 10, 15 years later. They played the Cash Ball. friend of mine's band opened for him. I'm not going to say the band's name because a lot of people don't like him anymore. But
I know his name is.
The Panzer Division didn't like me and my friend Josh, man. They were giving us dirty looks all night, man. We were just standing by the pool tables watching the show, and we felt so uncomfortable. We actually left. Actually,
did you really?
Bailed, man. Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Is that your pet tiger, Amanda?
That's my Brucey.
Oh, that's Bruce. That's Brucey Bruce. Dickinson.
Bruce Springsteen Campbell Dickinson.
Look what I bought Remy today for Christmas.
Aww.
It's going to be a popcorn.
That damn right. That dog can jump 6 feet, man. Straight up. That was cracking me up, man. I've never seen a dog do that before ever. That was funny.
His mom was a kangaroo.
Yeah. Or a rabbit, one of the two.
Yeah.
All right, go on.
It was just funny that you chose Pansy Division for that, because I almost chose My First Christmas as a Woman by
Vandal. Great Vandal. Song.
Yeah.
I've been trying to find that on vinyl. You know, I've actually seen it on vinyl every year.
You have that song on vinyl.
I do. I was actually playing it. So it's funny because this morning I was playing it. I don't know if you guys follow me on Instagram, but every day I've been posting another alternative Christmas song all up until Christmas. And today's song was going to be Sexy Santa by Steel Panther. But due to Terry Hall passing away, I posted the Specials Christmas song. It's not really a Christmas song, but it is. It's about the holidays, so I said, "Fuck it, I'll post it." And tomorrow will be Steel Panther. But yes, the Vandals is the first song on that album. So I want that whole record, though. So that's a great album. It's got "Oi to the World" on there, which is the original version. If you want to, you know it out, fans out there.
We actually cover the "Oi to the World" in the first Christmas.
You know what, Amanda? I found this today while I was going through my room. You're gonna love this.
I can't see it.
It's Gwen Stefani's solo album. There it is. There you go.
Why would you say that?
Because I ain't no holla back girl. That's why.
No one know that.
You know, I'm a former DJ, so I used to spend with all CDs. Now I spend with all vinyl. I should really sell all my CDs. I wouldn't make much off them, but I still have them.
Okay. That's your story. You stick to it, man.
All right. Moving right along.
I guess it's my turn again. My next song is Back Doors Santa. Back Door. Sorry.
It's what?
Back Door Santa by Clarence Carter.
Oh, yeah! That's a great tune. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
They call me Back Door Santa. I make my runs.
I love this fucking song so hard.
They call me Back Door Santa.
Yes.
I make my runs about the brigadier. Oh, oh, oh. I make all the little girls happy. While the boys go out to play.
No, they'll probably all know, like, they're in party.
Ain't like no Saint Nick. He don't come but once a year.
I love Crockett, man. That shit's good.
Look at him. Ain't like no Saint Nick.
Y'all knew something ridiculous? But look at him. I didn't even realize that Clarence Carter was fine until my best part of research in the chat.
This guy sampled that song.
You didn't realize what?
I keep some change in my pocket. And if the children at home.
Clarence Carter was actually blind until I started researching this.
I didn't know that either.
I just thought he wore sunglasses to look cool.
I mean,
he was actually blind.
I had no idea. I had no idea.
And me neither.
I make all the little girls happy.
Yes, you're correct. They Run DMC did sample this for Christmas Palace. Yes.
Which, by the way, is my favorite Christmas song of all time. Christmas Analysis. My favorite, man.
I spilled my wine, by the way.
You already drank that whole bottle?
No. Still have a lot.
Oh. I thought you said I just killed my wine.
No, I spilled it.
Spilled his wine. My wife brought me... My bartender for tonight, Kate, is here. Kate brought me. I thought she'd take it as a joke. I said, Kate, you look like Miley Cyrus.
No, she doesn't.
I know it was a joke, and they didn't go over too well.
I cannot imagine.
I can't imagine why.
She goes, Lady Gaga, maybe, but not Miley Cyrus.
I can see that. I never thought of it, but I can see that. She does favor Lady Gaga a little bit because she's Italian.
Kate's. Yeah. And that's what she said. She's like, I got the Italian look, so I could be Lady Gaga. Yeah.
So are y'all saying all Italian people look alike?
Yes.
No. See,
we're racist. No, not racist, sexist.
Not racist. Yeah. No. My mom's side of the family is all Italian. They all have that one toe that's bigger than their big toe. What
the fuck are you talking about?
Like the second toe?
The second toe is longer than the big toe. Big toe.
No, my second toe it's is Roman. Longer than my big toe.
That's an Italian thing. It is. And then they got, you know, they all got big old schnozzes. So, yeah. But they can cook their asses off. I'm telling you that. Made the greatest food in the fucking planet. I wish I could eat it still, but I can't. I mean, I go over there for family functions, and I can smell it, torture, but I still go over there.
So do you think it's because they need the pasta dough with their giant toes?
Maybe. Wow, I don't know.
I just went from bad to worse.
All right. I'm going up there. At the day after Christmas, I'll take a picture of all their toes, of all their feet, and you'll see.
And then you can start an OnlyFans account with all that.
So you could sell those on the internet.
Yeah. So the last song, an artist that I absolutely love, not because he's the most talented person on the planet, just because it's outsider music, right? And that's Wesley Willis, Merry Christmas from 1996. Go ahead and play it, DJ.
Christmas is a fun time. It is a fun time every December. It is also a joy month. I like this holiday a lot. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Christmas is a fun time to get dips. People stay home for the holidays. They spend time with their children. That's what it is all about. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry
Christmas. It is a very deep song if you pay attention.
Merry Christmas.
Just to pay attention to the lyrics.
I think last time we talked, you said you've got this on vinyl, or you've got some Wesley Willis on vinyl, and I'm extremely jealous.
Fucking wish I don't. I have Daniel Johnson. I have an original Daniel Johnson.
Okay.
Hello, which sent me back a pretty penny, but totally worth it.
CDs, but that's it. Sorry.
Yeah. I saw his documentary once. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's on
Prime.
Yeah. It's a great documentary.
Yeah.
When he got signed to Alternative Tentacles.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Trello the Opera. Thank you.
Yeah. So if you're wondering why the music sounds the way it does, it's Wesley Willis is considered what's called an outside artist, right? Or outsider music. And that typically means, some of the biggest sort of attributes to those artists are self-taught and have very little to no traditional music experience. but very childlike qualities, and for the most part, they suffer some sort of intellectual disability or mental illness, which was the case with Wesley Willis. He was schizophrenic, but unfortunately, he wasn't diagnosed well into his adult life in 1989. He was born in the 50s, or the, yeah, 50s. Yeah. You know, most of his music is kind of like spoken word, not a tune, has very absurd, bizarre, and obscene lyrics. But it definitely has this punk-like quality, which is why I freaking love him, right? But all his music sounds like this. I mean, it's not a whole lot of, like, change in the way he sings or even the tune, the melody is pretty much the same thing. He did first become famous when Jello Biafra of the Dead Kennedys released his greatest hits album in 95 through Jello's own record company called Alternative Tentacles, like Amanda said. He also had another band called the Wesley Willis Fiasco with some other famous artists, but you know, they only released one album. It's mostly known as a solo artist. But yeah, it's outsider music, and you know, he's sort of like an underground hero. I love that song. I love everything. So yeah, he's one of my favorite artists.
Thank you.
I feel like, you know, a lot of this stuff that we've talked about throughout this has been very negative, and maybe a little bit more on the depressing side or like angry versions of traditional Christmas music. But this, like, I'm really glad you picked this track because it is like pure joy. Like, he is super happy. He really means, like, everything you say in the song is just like straight from his heart, and it's way better than any like the cynical shit that we've been like spewing out in this whole episode.
Yeah. You know, and I'm kind of glad you brought that up, because one of the things that he, you know, being I would have no, I don't know thing one about schizophrenia, right? But I know that it's not fun, you know, at least that much. But, you know, the reason why he was so childlike and so positive is because, you know, when he had his schizophrenic episodes, he described them as hell rides, which were, you know, really fucking terrible things. He claimed that demons were coming along as they were trying to ruin his life and his talent and what he called his, you know, his life when he was not in an episode, which called his harmony joy music episodes or his joy rides. So he tried to be as positive and as outgoing as good as he could be, because he experienced those insane hellish schizophrenic episodes, which again, he just, the only way he could describe him was as hell ride. So yeah, all his music is super happy, super poppy and nonsensical, but in the best way. Right, it's really cool. So
you can tell he's happy when he's on that microphone singing. He's in the best place now. He's passed away since, right? Is he still alive?
No. He passed away in 2003. Actually, October 21st of next year is going to be 10 years due to complications of chronic leukemia. It's ultimately a form of leukemia. So yeah.
Rest in peace, Wesley Willis.
Yes, left behind an amazing legacy, which, again, I don't own any of the fucking album, but I certainly look for it every single chance I get, because I want it. I want it all.
I've got two of his CDs in that stack back there somewhere that I both found in a bargain rack somewhere.
Yeah.
I had no idea who he was, but I saw that little Alternative Tentacles thing in the corner of the label, and I bought it for like a dollar, and I'm so glad I did so.
Yeah, I'm actually getting ready to stack up my vinyl console with to start also playing cassettes and CDs, because I just started.
Yeah.
Actually, the speakers are, I don't know if you can see the.
Well, it's funny because
there's a stack of speakers that I'm using for that. So there's like two.
Nice.
Not gonna be in here, but yeah, I'm gonna fucking make this house rattle every time I play anything with.
Nice, man. That's how I do. And I've got. It's funny because the tapes are actually worth more than now than the CDs are, because the tapes, you know, everyone's hard on those tapes, man. So if they still work from the original time, man, they're worth a lot more money than something that was just pressed on a
Yeah. Well, the second thing about cassette tapes and 8-tracks is that those things degrade and deteriorate on their own, even if you keep them in pristine condition. Unlike, well, I mean, CDs and all that stuff deteriorates too, but not as bad, and neither does vinyl. But definitely cassette tapes deteriorate on their own and eventually just not work, no matter how good care you take of them. So that sucks.
They fall apart, man. They just disintegrate. Fall into like Thanos a snap.
Like all of us.
Just like me.
So that's where our 6 songs that we think are kind of underrated alternative Christmas songs. I'll tell you this, man. This is the first time we've recorded on a live kind of Zoom environment. I don't know how people do it. If you like it, see, I feel disconnected. I feel disconnected from you guys.
I do, but hey, I tell you what, I hammered.
I know. I think it's definitely a lot safer, but the lag and us it's kind of hard to tell who's getting ready to talk. And I think there might be a learning curve and us to be able to hit the stride to figure out how this is going to work for us.
Yes, sir. So if you guys watch this or even listen to this and we sound a little off our game or like there was weirdness or whatever, it's just, we've never done this. I'm with you, Amanda, too. It's I didn't know. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Speaking of that, I talked to Jamie at Red Clay, and we can record there anytime we want to, except for Mondays. So
cool. Awesome.
And we can have the back room if we need it. So
speaking of recording, well, before we go into that, what did we do this week? Before we go into
recording. The last show I went to was Machine Head.
Oh, yeah.
At the Underground. Not normally my type of gig, man. I like more underground or crunchier metal. But those fuckers played it for 2.5 hours. There was no opening band. And I tell you what, man, they sound great live. They killed it. So I'm glad I went.
Awesome. Ernest, did you do anything?
No.
I guess we just
Whamageddon
everybody.
I've had a lot of shit going on.
Didn't Ernest do the old Christmas party over at Sugar Creek?
Oh yeah, I did do
that. What do you mean, no?
I did the employee appreciation Christmas party at Sugar Creek last night. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Cool. A lot of fun. That's a great staff. That's one of the better staffs in Charlotte as far as breweries go. And not a revolving door like a lot of them.
I heard you were quite the stud.
Casanova last night, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not just last night. That's...
Oh, I'm sorry. We all apologize.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Recognize.
Magda, what about yourself?
I've been kind of keeping it low-key the last week. Just been working, trying to get last-minute Christmas crap done and baking and wrapping presents and all that kind of thing. Just kind of hibernating a little bit, and it's been kind of nice.
Nice. Yeah, I've been kind of the same. I mean, it's been, I don't know if you got this Christmas presents all over here. Kids are not allowed to come in here because I haven't wrapped everything. So I did escape last week to the Beckler, which is a museum here, amazing museum. They had an Andy Warhol party. The Beckler family knows a lot of contemporary artists, including Andy Warhol and Basquiat and a lot of other pop artists. And they have their own private collection. So they put out all their Warhols in a gallery, and they threw this massive fucking Andy Warhol pop art party at the museum. They had an Andy Warhol impersonator, and we took pictures with him. And it was a lot of fucking fun. It really was. It was the first time that I've been to one of their parties, because they do parties a lot, that they didn't have live music. So that was weird. They only had some weird random DJ that wasn't playing really anything interesting. So, but the party itself was fucking awesome.
No, actually, you said Beckler, and I was reminded, I actually did go do something fun this past week. We went to my boss, Rachel, took me and R2 and Laura. Oh, yeah. We went to the new museum of illusions. downtown.
What was that?
It was really, really, really cool. I heard. You could take it like a date night. You could go with friends. It'd be a good thing.
How big is it?
Take kids to go to. It's not very big.
Okay.
But it's cool. It's definitely worth the experience. We went out to lunch ahead. Like, we went to lunch, and then we went there, and then we went over to Dandelion Market for tapas and a couple cocktails after. And yeah, so I don't know why I completely spaced on that, but it was really fun. I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I want to go. It's actually, I work in that building. That's where my office is.
Okay.
Yeah.
You should have came down and hung out with us. I didn't know.
Well, I didn't know you were going.
No, I didn't know
our
you were
ESBs working. Weren't working. Or ESBs.
Our ESBs weren't working.
Extra strong bitters weren't working that day.
Yeah. So before we do our outro, Amanda, why didn't we do Christmas music after Christmas? Why are we releasing our Christmas episode after Christmas?
I actually just learned this because my brother told me this. I guess he works at Whole Foods, and so they were doing like rolling out all this 12 Days of Christmas stuff, and he was confused. And he informed me, because he just learned this too, that the 12 Days of Christmas actually start after Christmas. And so, yeah, our Christmas song episode will not come out until after Christmas, and now I don't feel as dumb about it. So we're actually following a correct tradition. And I think, Javier, you had looked into it a little bit, and so that, like, people didn't actually party on Christmas because it's a holy day. And so the revelry actually started the 26th and runs through the 6 days after New Year's Day. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the last 6 days of the old year and the first 6 days of the new year. Because you're correct. Because Christmas Day is a holy day and you couldn't party. So.
And so I think I'd always associated the 12 days of Christmas with like an advent calendar. In my mind.
Yeah.
And we always learned the 12 Days of Christmas song in like elementary school when we were learning all the other Christmas songs. So I just associated it with being pre-Christmas. And I've been wrong my entire 46 years on this planet.
Oh, me too, because I associated it with the same thing. I mean, with the kids, just raising them with the advent calendar, it was the 12 days leading up to Christmas. I've actually had beer, bourbon, and white advent calendars, and they were leading up to Christmas, not the, you know, the 6 days after and then the first days into January.
Well, Advent and the 12 days of Christmas are not the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, yeah.
Getting a gift 12 days after Christmas is as sweet as getting a gift on
you can get
even
a gift
if it's
in July,
a pair of gloves and some socks. It's still cool.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, with the Hanukkah tradition, it's a leading up to the last day, I think it's all just like smaller gifts, and then there's one big gift at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
So you may get like socks and like some chocolate coins and like, you know, a new toothbrush and whatever, and then you get your big present at the last night of Hanukkah.
Those chocolate coins that are big and have, you know, the big chocolate foil gold foil coins that you get in Hanukkah. Those things are fucking massive in Mexico. I have no idea why. But I mean, that's a Christmas thing in Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No idea why or how. I'm sure I can read up on it, but I'm not going to. But yeah, we grew up with that shit. Anything else?
I think that's it, man.
Yeah. Right.
Well, this is episode 14, and if you've been following our podcast, you know that each season only has 14 episodes. So this is our last episode for season 3. We're going to take a break, regroup, kind of figure out what we want to do for season 4. We would love to hear what you guys want to hear. So if you have any ideas, hit us up on social media, email us, whatever you want. Or individually, let us know, because I know a lot of you guys talk to us individually. So yeah, we're really happy that we made it to season 3. We're looking forward to season 4 and hopefully a lot much longer than that. I'm fucking pumped because I think we have a lot of cool ideas that we just kind of...
We do, man. Started. I think things are starting to really... Get going for the podcast, man. Stay tuned for some pretty cool special guests.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's some lot of people in the works, so
yeah, we actually had so many people. We
know how to turn down the people.
We're like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is our goodbye for at least a month or so, maybe a little longer. I don't know, because we just kind of wing everything. So thank you guys.
No way.
Kind of like this Zoom thing, which isn't Zoom. So thank you guys. So be our goodbye for a little bit. Say goodbye.
Adios.
Have manners.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Boom.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. We have a lot of interesting episodes coming up about music's most interesting topics, but we want to hear from you and what episodes you'd like to hear. If you have an idea for anything we should talk about, email us at mbyespodcast@gmail.com. This episode was produced by BWM Productions and researched by Eric, Amanda, and Javier. If you like our podcast, please help us by rating and reviewing us on your favorite listening platform. And follow us on Instagram and Facebook at mbyespodcast. Come on and join in the conversation.